You're listening to Penguin Tracks on 89.5 KOPN Columbia. On the phone with me is Goose Garland. She is the author of the book, Mommy, How Do You Know I'll Like Como? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got your start writing.
Well, first of all, Joy, I kind of just want to thank you for letting me be on your show. I think KOPN is wonderful. And I know you support the community, and I think that's really great. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. When I talk about myself, well, first of all, I have to say that when I do talk about myself, I just want to put a little bit of my past when I talk about myself, because I think it's really important to who I am today. I was blessed at a very early age. I mean, God was looking out for me because I was adopted from an orphanage in Japan in the early 70s. And a United States Navy CPO, non-commissioned officer, became my father, and he was an amazing person. I mean, his family lived in Iowa, his family came from Iowa, and so I went to Iowa at about age two, and I basically grew up as a Iowa farm girl on a corn and soybean farm. And so, you know, I'd go fishing every weekend, and we'd hunt morel mushrooms in the spring, and my dad had a huge garden. And so I spent a lot of time outdoors and just loving nature, but it's really important for me to talk about my dad because he was such a great influence to me when I was growing up, and he was a person that loved America. He was very patriotic. He had a strong faith in God, and his beliefs just basically became my beliefs, and so I just want to throw that in there because he was my everything, and he is the reason why my life is filled with love and opportunity. So anyway, so I came to the States, and unlike most military families, we actually stayed in one area in Iowa. So I grew up in the same elementary, middle school, and high school. Well, at an early age, I absolutely loved to draw. And so I would take pages out, and I would just draw constantly. And when I got a little bit older, I started writing. I just would write poems just for the fun of it. And a lot of times, I was an only child, so a lot of times I was by myself. And so being an only child, you had to kind of, you know, come up with things to keep your imagination and entertainment going. And so I would listen to songs, and back then, it was kind of the 80s big band era, and Meatloaf, I'd listen to the lyrics, and then I would rewrite the lyrics and make my own lyrics to the songs. And so that's kind of how I got into writing, and then I got into poetry from that point, and I'd write skits and plays and anything to just kind of feed my creativity. And back then also, I was reading a lot of the, I don't know if you remember, Mad Magazine, but I'd read it over and over. And I watched a lot of cartoons and funnies in the paper, and I kind of developed a humor. I like to listen to and read things that just make me laugh. And so doing children's books, it definitely falls into my comfort zone. So as I got older, I went off to college, and my dad, he came from a working-class family, and so he really wanted, you know, more for me. So when I told him, I said, hey, I want to go to college for art. He goes, well, that's fine and dandy, but I want you to, you know, get into a degree that you're going to make some money in. Mm-hmm. And back then, there wasn't a lot of graphic artists back in the 80s because, you know, the internet hadn't really developed yet. And so I didn't really have that option. And so I was like, okay. And so I don't know, after a few years of just trying to figure out what I wanted to do in college, I came across this article about a recreational therapist. And I thought, well, you get a job in that and you could be creative. So I did a little research, and lo and behold, the University of Missouri had that option here. And that was back in the late 90s. I think the program actually was discontinued when I graduated from MU. But from there, I went to Boone Hospital, and I worked for roughly about 10 years there at Boone. And then the best thing that ever happened in my life happened. and I had my first child. Mm-hmm. And that basically changed everything. And when you have a child, you know, you do all this research, you research all the books, and you read everything that you can possibly be the best mom ever. And everything that I read, of course, was read your child. And so just starting in utero, I started reading children's books to my child. And then by the time she was, you know, 3 or 4, I was reading up to 150 children's books to her. And by about that time, I had read thousands of children's books. And around that time, I was working part-time. It was really nice, and my husband was able to let me work part-time. And so I got to thinking, wow, you know, I still wrote poems, and I still enjoyed doing skits. And I thought, you know, I could totally write a children's book. And so because I had already, you know, read so many, and I, at that point, I felt kind of like an expert on children's books because I had, you know, I had read so much. And so I approached my husband and I said, hey, I think I'd really like to write a children's book. And he looks at me and he says, well, that's fine and dandy, but who's going to buy your children's book? And so I thought, that's a good point. And so I just dismissed the idea. And so then about 4 years went by, and I actually left the hospital and went into a more educational setting. I worked for parents as teachers, and I substitute taught. Well, about after 4 years, ironically, I had this friend that was moving back to Japan, and I thought, wow, I want to give her a souvenir that she can take back to Japan and you know, show her family about Columbia and what have you. And so I went to Barnes & Noble looking for a book, and I couldn't find any children's books about Columbia, Missouri. And so I went back home and I told my husband, I said, hey, I have this idea for a children's book. And I told him the idea and I said, what do you think? And he looks at me and he says, do it. And, you know, from that point, that's where the book started. And so then I came up with the title, Mommy, How Do You Know I Like Como? And I knew that I wanted to, you know, make the children's book about all the places that I had taken my child when she was grown up, because I wanted to make it into a scrapbook, mm-hmm. So to speak. And so yeah, that's kind of how I got started and kind of in writing, and then came up with this idea.
Tell us a little bit more about your book, Mommy, How Do You Know I Like Como?
Sure. It's basically a book about Joyce and her family. It's Joyce, she moves to Columbia, Missouri, and she visits a lot of different places in Columbia with her mom and dad. And as she is discovering these new places around town, she meets another child, her name's Beth, and they meet at the Ark. And Joyce and Beth, throughout the story, they develop a friendship. Well, while the story is going on, Joyce also begins to work through her feelings. You know, a lot of kids that move to a new town, they have feelings of, you know, why do things have to change? What, you know, am I going to make new friends? How do I make new friends? And so Joyce's parents throughout the story, they start answering these questions. And I think one of the most important things that Joyce's parents tell her is that, you know, no matter where you go as a family, we're always going to love you, and that will never change. And so, you know, also with the book, I put in some information. As she visits different places, I kind of put in a information bubble that describes to parents and children different activities that they can be involved in. So it's kind of a reference book also. And then some of the places where Joyce visits, she goes to ARC, the Farmer's Market, Shelter Insurance Gardens, Twin Lakes Dog Park, Orr Street, Columbia Mall, you know, just to name a few. And I also made the book really whimsical because, like I said, I'm a kind of a big kid at heart, and so I like to make things that have a little bit of humor in it. So you're going to find pirates, a 5-foot chicken, an alien, an astronaut. There's There's some deer wearing clothes. So it's pretty whimsical. But it's also, you know, not only is it a good book for people that are moving to Columbia, it's a good book for people that, families that move within the district. And, you know, grandparents with grandkids, it's real informative for, you know, grandparents that might not know where to take these new grandkids. And also it's a great book for elementary students that are trying to learn about Columbia. And like I said before, it's a good book for anyone that wants a souvenir about Columbia. Because I truly made this book not only as a scrapbook for myself, but also because I absolutely love this town. I mean, it's an amazing place. It's so unique. There's so much culture. And, so it's a book. It's a tribute to Columbia.
What was the best thing about writing this book, and what was the hardest?
Well, I think the best thing was that I was able to be creative with a story and put my thoughts down on paper. You know, just being able to put my own spin on these different areas that Joyce went to and adding humor, adding characters that were whimsical. Just as an example, at the farmer's market, when I drew the picture for that, there's a life-size bee and a life-size chicken that are selling honey and eggs, you know. And like I said before, pirates at Twin Lakes. Just being creative, that really was fun for me. Oh, my goodness. And the hardest part was, and any writer would probably tell you this, is you develop the story, especially when you do children's books. Mm-hmm. You develop the story, and it's so long. And then you have to cut it down into 32 pages. Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at my children's book, of course, it's not 32 pages. I think it ended up at 43. So the hardest part was making the story smaller. And that was a challenge, but fortunately I was able to do it. And then another thing that was a little bit difficult were page turns. Mm-hmm. So when you're developing a children's book, you have this story, but you're also dealing with pictures. So unlike just a regular book, you know, you just go on with your story. Well, you have to have that correlation to your pictures and to the story as you flip the page. And that's something that I ended up learning through a great editor, Barbara Bassett. And so, so that was kind of a little bit of a challenge.
What advice would you give someone who wanted to write children's books?
Well, I think a good piece of advice is if you want to be successful, look at the people that are already doing it successfully. And David Catro, which was one of my favorite illustrators, children's illustrators, I actually called him and talked to him, and it was an amazing call. But he had some great insight into illustrating. And then for writing, they had a wonderful seminar at the library with Liz Schultz, T.K. Carter, and Eric Bashan. And so, you know, just educate yourself. Do your research. Go to seminars. And also, you don't have to be perfect. I think a lot of people get stuck in the rut. Well, this piece has to be perfect for me to publish it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, you have to be able to just say, okay, this is really good. Let's go on to the next step. I think some people get stuck with that. And don't give in to self-doubt. I mean, like I said before, when I first came up with my first book for the idea 7 years ago, I told, you know, after my husband said, well, who's going to buy your book? You know, I said, oh, well, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is if you make a book, somebody will eventually read it. There will be an audience for you. So don't let that make you stop writing. And also, a lot of times I think people that do write a children's book, sometimes they get into the question of who's going to illustrate it, and am I going to be able to afford an illustrator? And don't let that stop you, because there are a lot of great illustrators out there, and some of them will work for, you know, a pretty reasonable amount of money if they're able to work with you and then make a profit with the book. So don't let that stop you from making a children's book. Also, another thing is be persistent. It's really easy to, especially if you're creative and you feel like you have to be inspired, it's really easy for you to just get, you know, kind of bogged down in, oh, I'm not inspired today, I don't feel like drawing. Well, you have to make it into a job. I mean, if it's a hobby, if you use it as a hobby, it's going to be a hobby. And if you kind of approach it as a job, eventually you'll get your book done. And I think a big thing that I learned also is that if you're not willing to market your book, then don't write a book, because unfortunately that's the business part of it. And some people just absolutely don't like marketing, but I kind of am on that bandwagon. That's not something I wanted to do, but that's a really good piece of advice, that if you do want to do a book, then you're going to have to market it. And also, social media is free, so use social media for promoting your book and developing a more broader audience. My husband and I are very private people, and so it was really hard for me to get into social media, but I actually have only started, so I'm building a following. I'm just beginning it, but that's something that you really need to think about when you do a book. And talking about children's books, I would say don't lose sight of your inner child. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy for me because I'm just a big kid. I mean, if my daughter's jumping on trampoline, I'm right there with her, you know. Mm-hmm. And my husband is kind of the adult. So don't lose sight of things that make you laugh and, you know, are fun. And I think the best piece of advice is, you know, whatever you write about something that you love. Be passionate about it, because if you're passionate about it, it'll come out in your writing. It'll come out in your artwork. And, yeah, so.
Where can people get your book?
Yeah, I really like to promote local businesses. So my book is at Village Books. It's at Yellow Dog Bookshop. It's a Columbia Books. It's actually at both Clover Markets. Angela and Ashley they're great. They're very willing to carry the book. It's also at the Mizzou Bookstore on campus. I think Hy-Vee Bookstore has some copies. The East Nifong, they'll probably just be there temporarily. But there are copies there, and the Boone Historical Society has them. And you can also get it at Amazon.com or at my website at goosegarland.com.
What are you currently working on?
Well, the book I'm working on now, ironically, is the first book that I had in mind 7 years ago. So, yeah, it's a book about a boy that has bad teeth and basically what happens to him when he doesn't brush his teeth. And I think I'll probably, at the back of the book, I'll also have information on how to brush your teeth and what to do for, you know, teeth care and stuff like that. But it's definitely a book that is going to be available to a broader market. I mean, this first book that I did, you know, was very localized to Columbia, where this next book, it'll be a little bit more of a book that people could purchase, you know, outside of Missouri. So
you had mentioned social networking. You said you had, like, just started. What is your websites?
Yeah, if you look up the website is goosegarland.com, but if you look up Facebook, Pinterest, or Instagram, it'll be under Goose Garland. If you just type in Goose Garland, it'll come up. Just starting out, Instagram, not too much advertising on that one or posting, really. I still do post on Instagram, but so those are the three social media things I'm working on right now.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to give a shout out to a few people, Elmer Arndt, John and Martha Reen. They were very, a huge help when I first started out. They were with the SCORE program at the Chamber of Commerce. And Eleanor was just an amazing person. She actually helped me with a lot of connections here in Columbia, like the businesses and people that were willing to purchase the book, and she's just an amazing person. kind and smart. And John was actually in the publishing industry, so he was able to help me a lot with info about that. Also, one thing that I didn't mention is when I started the book in 2016, I was actually learning a lot about Photoshop and computer applications, and Mara Mudd from Ms. Mudd Design, it's a tongue twister. She helped me out a lot with my drawings, just learning how to draw and computer application when the book went to print. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. And Barbara Bassett, I mentioned her earlier, she's the author of You're Never Too Big to Hold, and she helped a lot with the editing, even though she doesn't want to take credit for it, but she did help. And lastly, I just want to do a shout-out to Joyce and Don Rackers, because the book is actually dedicated to them both. I think you only meet a few people in your life that accept you for who you are without question, and they have been just wonderful friends, and they've been there for me through the worst times of my life and also the best. And so I just want to say I love you, Joyce and Don. And also, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to have me on your show. And I really do appreciate it. And hopefully I can talk to you the next time when the next book comes out. And that'll be at the start of next year sometime.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for the interview. It was an honor. And you have a great week.
All right. Thanks so much, Jill.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.